So part of my role within the British Standard and kind of the wide world of inclusive PPE is that I ran a campaign for inclusive PPE in the construction industry. And that started with my own experiences of ill-fitting PPE and how that impacted my first few years in the industry, impacted my well-being, my health and safety. And it was all about how to make it better, not just for new people coming into the industry, but for everyone else. As things progressed, as the campaign got bigger, that's when BSI got in touch and said, we'd really like to do a British Standard on this. It's something we've been following for a while and we think it's the right time to do it. And they brought me into the committee and I've been working on the British Standard. And obviously it's now all published and released, which is brilliant.
You are listening to The Standard Show, the podcast that brings you the stories behind the standards.
The whole point of PPE is that it's there to save people. And if it doesn't fit people, then it won't perform and it potentially won't save them. The new standard 30417 is basically about behaviours. It's taking things seriously, recognising the needs of the staff that are there and making choices that benefit the staff and benefit the business. The personal protective equipment at work regulations require you to engage with your workforce. The fact that we've now got a new British standard to help people who are selecting PPE to apply that makes it really helpful.
Hello, this is Matthew Childs and welcome to The Standard Show, the podcast that brings you the stories behind the standards. Now, the voices you heard at the top of the episode were those of Katie Robinson, Senior Project Manager at East Riding of Yorkshire Council and founder of the PPE campaign, and Alan Murray, Chief Executive of the British Safety Industry Federation. And they were speaking at the Westminster launch event, which brought together MPs, industry leaders and other key stakeholders of the standard BS 30417, Provision of Inclusive Personal Protective Equipment, or PPE, the subject of this episode. BS 30417 is a major step forward in making PPE inclusive, effective and equitable for everyone. The standard provides practical guidance to help employers supply PPE that truly fits, no matter an employee's gender, ethnicity, body shape, age or disability. Research from Focal Data shows that 36% of women in the UK and 45% globally are supplied PPE that doesn't fit properly. This isn't just uncomfortable. In industries like construction, healthcare and policing, poorly fitting PPE can create serious safety risks, reduce job satisfaction, and even push skilled workers out of industries struggling with labour shortages. So BS 30417 gives organisations clear guidance on selecting, issuing and maintaining PPE to protect all employees. By promoting better fit, it not only improves safety and compliance, but also supports recruitment, retention and overall workforce well-being. Now, in this episode, we'll hear from a range of voices at the event, from those involved in developing the standard to representatives of organisations that will be using it, as well as Kirsteen Sullivan, MP, host of the launch. And when you finish listening to them, check out the Standard in 10 Minutes episode of The Standard Show that we published on BS 30417. Details are in the show notes. Now, before we get down to it, here's Cindy Parakil with a quick reminder.
Hey, just a quick reminder to follow, rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. Want to get in touch or find us on socials? All the links you need are in the show notes.
In this part one, we'll hear Emma Scholes, Principal Geo-Environmental Engineer at Curtins, talking about the empowerment case for inclusive PPE. Before Emma, Raushi Hussain, also a geo-environmental engineer, this time from Kundal, about the importance of inclusive PPE in carrying out working roles effectively. But first, Ola Obadara, Vice President of the Chartered Institute of Building and Group Director, Property Projects for the City of London, outlining the health and safety issues of ill-fitting PPE.
Inclusive PPE is a vital part of workplace health and safety because it keeps workers safe on site. The problem we've had historically is that one size does not fit all. When you have a set of gloves, for example, which is ill-fitting on an operative, if they're operating a piece of machinery, that can slip off, for example. If you have a piece of high-vis which is too big, that can catch on something. And I think worse, actually, if you've got larger size boots than you actually need, then slips, trips and falls are something that can actually happen on site or in the workplace. I have personal experience of having ill-fitting PPE. Early on in my career, I was working on station designs, and as part of that, I had to do station surveys. I was heavily pregnant at the time as well. And unfortunately, I did not have a high-vis jacket that fits, so I could not do up the jacket in front. Also, I was size 5 boots. There weren't size 5 boots back then. The PPE started at size 6. And for those that know PPE quite well, the site boots are actually quite wider than normal. So I was on site actually doing the training. Luckily, this was training on a railway site. So we're taken to a site that actually doesn't have a live rail. But I was there with a high-vis jacket that I could not do up. I had boots that were too big, and every time I tried to cross the railway line in an attempt to practice how to do it on a real line, I kept tripping up. And what the instructor said is, look, you know, if that happened on a real live rail, I think his words were close to fried chicken. So it is really important that you actually have proper fitting PPE to prevent accidents on site. If a business is unsure where to start with inclusive PPE, the first advice I'll give them is to download a copy of the British Standard 30417. Secondly, I'll advise them to do an audit of their organisation. What PPE do they have? Who needs PPE? One of the good things about this standard is it makes sure that everyone, whether it has to do with your gender, your size, whether you need maternity requirements, there's PPE available. So do an audit of what your organisation needs. Reach out to manufacturers. If you don't have exact ones in the catalogue, reach out to manufacturers who can actually adapt the PPE to kind of fit the operatives you have within your organisation. And lastly, make sure you continue to do that audit. You don't just do it once and then stop. You need to continue to do that audit to make sure you always have PPE that fits and is inclusive for all your operatives.
Inclusive PPE for women in engineering means creating a safe and welcoming environment for all. It is creating a platform that means that I have an equal opportunity compared to my male counterparts. I'm already at a disadvantage as a female engineer in the construction industry, where it is highly male dominated. By not having to think about how my PPE fits on my body is the task in itself, whilst trying to look normal on site, but it's also looking the part and feeling like I belong. So as a graduate, one memory of mine where PPE really affected my ability to complete my role was when I was a graduate on site in Glasgow, and I had ill-fitting PPE. So I literally had to manage balancing a hard hat on my head because it was too big and it wouldn't fit, whilst trying to walk straight because my shoes were too big for me and heavy. This was just something that I had to balance. I had to overcompensate whilst I was trying to undertake my role. We encountered asbestos, which caused the site to shut down because we had to reassess the PPE that we had on site, if it was suitable. We all had to go get face-fitted masks, and my face did not fit. It didn't even pass the test. And I literally went home crying every night because site was basically shut down because of me. And I felt like I was the problem, I was the issue, because I couldn't fit the mask. When in reality, when I look back now, that mask did not fit me, and it shouldn't have to be that way. So I think about how people feel when their PPE doesn't fit them, because a lot of people won't have the voice or the courage to speak up, and they just get on with it because they might not know better. Inclusive PPE creates a safe environment for all if it is fit to form. That means that the PPE is not oversized, it's not causing uncomfortableness, and it's not causing us to overcompensate. A lot of people don't realise that PPE goes beyond health and safety. It's a challenge and a battle because we're trying to keep clothes on our body that not necessarily fits. A lot of engineers, when they have ill-fitting PPE, go to site and they are overcompensating. They're having to pull up their sleeves or having to roll up their trousers, not realising that this is just an extra task in their head, as well as completing their role. And it subjects us to a lot of risks where we're more subject to slips, trips and falls. And this is so easily avoidable if we were just to make a small, simple fix. My message to businesses who are not using inclusive PPE would be, invest in your workforce. Your workforce, your employees, are your brain power to your business. So if you want to do well, make that simple change.
For me, I think it's really important that health and safety equipment is designed to fit everyone for two reasons. The first is fundamentally safety. PPE that doesn't fit is not fit for purpose. But beyond that, it's also how you feel in it and that kind of sense of belonging. It's really difficult to feel confident in yourself and back yourself in settings where you're going to site and you're being a site manager or engaging with clients there. If you're in PPE that doesn't fit, you know, the big full length jacket down to your knees, like rolling your sleeves and your trousers up, you don't necessarily feel professional. And I think the message that inclusive PPE can send is that your industry wants you there. They are considering your role in it and making sure there's space for you there. I feel personally more empowered when my PPE fits because I feel I can be both sort of professional as well as safe. And I think it's making sure that everyone has access to that. So for me, curtains are supporting this British standard, speaking as an employee, because it aligns with a lot of the other things that they do naturally. I think curtains always want to champion their staff, show employees that they're valued. And I think this is a really good way to sort of proactively engage with such a big change in the industry and kind of say to everyone in curtains who it affects, which is a lot of us, that you're not on your own doing this. Like, we support you, we're going to help you map this out and navigate it. And I think that the second part on that is really driving change in the industry. So this is bigger than any individual or any single company. It's talking about raising the bar for all industries that use PPE in the work setting. And I think curtains alongside other organisations are kind of pioneering, leading the way on that. So inclusive PPE means, I think, for a business like curtains, certainly, coming down to something as simple as making sure that every single employee is able to step out into their work feeling like they are equipped with the right PPE that is tailored to their specific needs and requirements. I think it's making sure that when employees leave the office and they go out to an environment that needs PPE, those people feel both comfortable and safe. So if I can pick a single action that every organisation should be taking to make sure that PPE is suitable for all employees, it's really about ongoing communication. So every single company has a different workforce. I think in the ever-growing, diverse workforce that we have, it's important to acknowledge and sort of accept that this is a continuous process. We can't just say, well, there's guidance here, we're putting policies in place, and that's going to be that. I think companies need to show their employees what is accessible at a single point in time and how they can get that and can access that. But beyond that, it's also then creating a channel for them to be able to feed back any sort of comments or change in requirements and needs. Every individual knows their own needs for specific PPE better than anyone else can. And I think it's companies really empowering those individuals, creating platforms where they can have that communication going. And then also on the other side of that, be very receptive when the feedback does come in.
Standards affect all of us, every day, everywhere. By defining good practice, they help people and organizations do things better. Each year, standards bodies publish thousands of standards, and we're always looking for more people like you to join our growing community of standards makers. We welcome applicants from all backgrounds, areas of expertise, and career stages. Our goal is simple: to bring a balance of perspectives to the table. As a standards maker, you can help improve how things are made and done, whether it's building more inclusive workplaces, improving healthcare, advancing AI governance, accelerating climate action, and much more. If you want to make a difference and help shape the world through standards, start your standards making journey today. Details on how to get involved are in the show notes.
In this second part, we'll hear three more voices speaking about BS 3417. Brian Tate, Product Regulatory Approvals at Respirex, and standards maker too. He's chair of BSI Standards Committee PH23, which developed BS 3417, talking about confidence and morale as it relates to inclusive PPE. Before that, Rhiannon Cars, Communications Director at Curtains, on the importance of inclusive PPE for staff retention. But we start with Natalie Wilson, Managing Director of Workwear Solutions and Chair of the BS 3417 Drafting Panel, about how the standard supports SMEs.
Inclusive PPE will help support SMEs in being compliant and competitive in their markets, because they'll be able to attract and retain talent across diverse workforces. And when they're bidding for public sector contracts, they will be able to demonstrate that they're compliant to the requirements for inclusive PPE. The standard's been written in a way that has helped to give guidance to companies and individuals who are providing PPE for people who are working on their sites and within their organisations. Having access to a standard that has a range of terms and definitions that facilitate perhaps more easily discussing what might be otherwise difficult terms or terms that are not always understood in a particular way. And it gives a good guideline for how to create a different culture in a business that looks more inclusively throughout the whole process of the PPE procurement and provision process. So we know that our workforces are getting more and more diverse, and that different generations are coming into workforce with different expectations and different requirements, but also we're seeing people living longer and working longer. So there are challenges at both ends of the age spectrum, just as an example, that employers need to be more and more aware of, and to have the facility to be able to incorporate those workforces and the benefits of doing that are really key. This standard is designed to help them understand PPE, which can be a really critical part of that process. If you're a woman who is working in a male-dominated industry and is being expected to wear unisex or male products, you can actually be putting those women at greater risk of injury from secondary risks of things like trips and falls, where you've got trousers that are too long or gloves that they're not dexterous enough because they're too big for them. So making sure that you're accommodating and providing for those people will ensure that as an organisation, as a business and employer, you can be more diverse in your workforce and engagement with your workforce. So the advice I would give to SMEs and other organisations looking to support and attract diverse talent into their organisations is, first and foremost, download it. It's free to download. We wanted to make it free so that it would be absolutely available and that wouldn't be a limiting factor to it. Read it, use the guidelines. It's designed in a step-by-step process to take you through the pre-tender assessment all the way through to delivery and ongoing supply of those goods. So use it as a tool to be able to plan out how you're going to procure your PPE in the future. Use it as a tool to engage continuously with your workforce to make sure that you understand what your workforce looks like and what their needs are. And don't just stop once you've done it once. Continue to make sure that it is fit for purpose for those teams. It also will give you a whole range of ideas that will help a cultural change in a business to be more inclusive in the way that product is delivered into the users.
I think that it should be a fundamental right that when an employee goes to work, that their well-being, their health and their safety is considered in exactly the same way as their colleagues' health and safety is considered. But if we kind of build on that, if we look at it from a different perspective, it's also about belonging. It's about mattering. It's about being considered by the people that you work for and knowing that when you turn up to work, that you matter, you've been considered and that you belong there. Curtins is absolutely delighted to be supporting this guidance because we have got the absolute privilege and pleasure of working with loads of businesses who are purpose-driven, who are really kind of have their values at the heart of what they do. And this allows us to kind of share something that's really tangible for those businesses to be able to use that will improve the experience of people that are working, both in our industry, so we're a civil and structural engineering consultancy, so improving the experience of people within the construction industry, but beyond that as well. As a business and in the construction industry, we do not have the representation that we want. We don't have that diversity in our workforce. So guidance like this, we hope, will really kind of serve to retain talent within the industry, but also, I really do hope, attracts people and appeals to people that have perhaps been thinking about it as a career and thinking, actually, maybe that is somewhere that I could join and that I could belong. So we work in the construction industry. We're civil and structural engineers. A lot of what we do is desk-based design. So we work in healthcare, in education. We work on housing schemes. But also our teams do go out onto construction sites. And for us, we want to know that we can manage their health, their well-being and their safety out on the construction sites to the best of our ability, in the same way that we do when they're in our offices. And knowing that we can provide the PPE that really suits and serves their individual needs, we're not asking them to adapt to fit to somebody else's shape or size or race or ethnicity or gender, that we're able to provide those individual needs, make sure those are met. It really just puts our employees at the heart of what we're doing. And it's a privilege to be able to share that with other organisations as well, because we know that there is a desire and there's a need for that guidance, for that support to be out there. And we really, really hope that businesses and individuals within businesses as well use this guidance and really kind of exceed what they're doing already and improve things for everybody. I totally get that not every business has got the budget or the resource or whatever it might be to make all of the changes they would like to make overnight. I get that that's not always plausible. Where it is, I would really encourage businesses to do that. But where it's not, this guidance provides like a roadmap. You can really understand what needs to change, what's our priority, what's going to have the biggest impact, and then start small if you need to, but start tomorrow. That's what I would really, really encourage. And where perhaps this isn't reaching the agenda of businesses, I'd really, really encourage individuals to seek out this guidance and to take it to their manager, take it to their bosses, put it on the right table under the right nose, and really, really encourage those businesses to do better, to be better.
The opportunities for a business to have inclusive PPE is confidence and morale in your workforce. PPE business is a business of the person, and therefore you want to have the staff want to have confidence that their employer is looking after their basic needs and their safety. Examples I can think of: the police force needing to have good fitting PPE for their for the police that are on the beat, as well as within our organisation, we have people of various ranges of sizes that are asking for often different fitting and size requirements on a case-by-case basis for their protection of chemical workwear. Respirex approaches inclusivity by understanding that the risks of industry can be quite bespoke. So our business is really looking at first the risk that our clients are undergoing, and then we design the PPE around the customer's requirements to protect them against that specific risk. Inclusive PPE is worth the investment because we have to get away from the understanding that there is this one-size-fits-all philosophy in sourcing PPE. An organization will need to take into account all their employees' needs and then approach the market looking for how best that risk that the employee is going to be involved in can be mitigated, whether it is looking at various types of PPE to create an ensemble, or whether it is working with notified bodies and manufacturers to design a PPE that will be best fit for their staff. PPE must be accessible and inclusive, as it is a business of the person. So a PPE that is not fitting does not protect. Therefore, if you are purchasing PPE that is not fitting any member of your staff, you are not going to be protecting that member of staff. What inclusivity is trying to capture is that individuals need to be catered for on a case-by-case basis for the fit of PPE.
Our thanks to the many people we have featured in this episode: Katie Robinson, Alan Murray, Ola Abadara, Raushi Hussain, Emma Scholes, Natalie Wilson, Rhiannon Cars, and Brian Tate, for sharing their thoughts on BS 3417, the standard for inclusive PPE. Now, to find out more about the themes raised in this episode and about how to get involved in standards, then follow the links in the show notes. And the show notes are also where you can find details of our socials and all the other ways to get in touch with us here on The Standard Show. We'll leave the final word to Kirstine Sullivan, UK Member of Parliament for Bathgate and Linlithgow, host of the launch event for The Standard, speaking about the benefits of adopting BS 3417.
If we get this right, it has wins all round. So not only do we increase safety in the workplace for employees, but also we remove some of the barriers to workplaces that might be there for not just for women, but for people with disabilities, people from different cultural backgrounds, perhaps barriers that many people don't notice because they're just used to being given unisex clothing. But we have to change that culture.
You have been listening to an episode of The Standard Show, the podcast that brings you the stories behind the standards.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.